Amen. Good to have Brother Bob Garrett with us this morning. Amen. Come on, Brother Bob. Amen. He didn't know he was going to get opportunity, but amen. Come on, brother. I love Brother Bob Garrett.
Amen.
You pray for Brother Bob. He's battling cancer, but God's going to use him. Amen. Doctors told him there wasn't no cure for his cancer. They just have to beat it down. But they don't know an earthly cure.
Exactly.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be back this morning. And appreciate those messages. That's good. Second Kings chapter number 1. I'll just pick up and preach what I preach to my Spanish people Sunday night. Second book of Kings. I'm glad God's still on the throne. He knows what he's doing. And he's a great God. I still believe Romans 8:28. I believe it all. Things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And I can say this morning, I do love him. And God has a purpose in everything that he does. Things don't come into your life for no reason at all. And even though we don't understand, maybe one day we will. We may not down here, but God's working and doing something. I think sometimes some people get an idea that maybe preachers don't have to suffer or don't have to go through what they have to go through because they're out in the world working all the time. And sometimes God puts his preachers through some things just so the people sitting on the pews can see how he responds and see the grace of God in his life, and it will help them. And I've had our Hispanic people come and talk to me about things like that and say, how you do? I said, well, it's just God's grace. And they said, well, I couldn't go through that. I said, well, you haven't been saved 47 years either. You know, maybe you've only been saved 2 years. But God will put them through it sooner or later, too, some things. And I just appreciate the goodness of God and what he's doing in our lives and God's work among the Hispanic people. Thank you, Brother Ken, for this opportunity. 2 Kings, chapter number 1, would you stand with me? Verse number 1, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto them, is it not because there's not a god in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, there was a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there's not a god in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Thou therefore shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. He said unto them, what manner of man was he that came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he is a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, the king said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. something when the king knows the man of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
I believe that wherever God's placed us and put us, people ought to know that there's a man of God in town.
Yeah.
Ought to be able to recognize those that are just, as they say, men of the cloth and those that are men of God. And the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top of the hill. And he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven, consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven, consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus saith the king, or thus the king hath said, Come down quickly. Elijah answered and said unto him, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven, consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 and his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him. And said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came down fire from heaven, burn up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, Go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there's no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram reigned in his stead. In the second year of Jehoram, the king of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? You may be seated. God will help me this morning. I want to preach on why I can't come down. Why I can't come down. Elijah's a prophet. He's been a prophet of God for many years in Israel, especially during the time of Ahab, a wicked king. Now, Ahaziah has fallen through a lattice, and he's on the bed, and he's sick, and he sent messengers over to inquire of a false god to see if he's going to recover or not. While those messengers leave and go, then God sends Elijah to meet them, and he told them, he said, Well, you're going to inquire those false gods for you because there's not a God in Israel? He said, You're going to tell the king he's not going to get up off the bed, he's going to die. They went back. Evidently, the king got upset with the message, and probably he knew Elijah, he knew that he was a prophet of God, and so he sent a captain with 50 men. Elijah was up on the hill up there, and the captain came and he told Elijah, he said, The king said, Come down. And Elijah said, If I'm a man of God, let fire come down of heaven and consume you. I'm not coming down. Fire failed, consumed them. Same thing happened with the second 50. Again, he said, The king said, Come down. We're living in a generation and a time when they keep saying, Oh, man of God, come down. You're too strict, you're too straight-laced, you're getting the narrow way. We're living in the 21st century. It's time to come down. The king said, Come down. Well, the man of God has only one king over him, and that's the King of Kings. There's no earthly king that has any right.
to tell us what to do. We have our authority. We will get our orders from one place and one place only, and that's from the God of heaven. Elijah would not come down. Finally, he sent a third man, and that guy came. I don't know if the king had wanted to kill Elijah, wanted to get him down, and we'd fall in the hands of those 50, and they would get him and take him and kill him. I do know this, that this generation does not like straight preaching. Hard preaching. It's getting fewer and far between. The old time way dying out. And many that used to be fundamental that would stand and preach have now, as they say, I've learned better. But I'm glad I haven't learned better. You see, if you'll read chapter number 2, you'll find out that Elijah's getting ready to go home. I believe this was an attempt to get Elijah to compromise and come down just before going home. The more I study the Bible, the more I read, the more I see what's going on in this day in which we're living, I believe that we're getting close to going home. And there are a large majority that want us to compromise and come down before going home. I've been in the straight way too long now. Many, many years ago, and I was saved in the Southern Baptist Church, and there were no standards in that church, and I spent a few years there until God finally sent me a preacher, and things began to change, and God allowed me to meet some preachers that had a tremendous influence on my life, and I got in the straight and the narrow way and started running with preachers that believed this book and have preached straight and preached against sin. And I've been in this way a long time now. And it won't be long until going home. And I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I'm planning on going in the rapture. I don't know what God's plans are, but that's my desire to go in the rapture. I think we may get to go. And if that be the case, or whether I have to go by the way of the grave, it matters not. I want to be faithful to the end. And not lay the sword down and not compromise in these last days. And so, I can't compromise, I can't quit, I can't come down. And I want to give you a few reasons this morning why we can't come down. I'll tell you, first of all, we can't come down this morning because the message has not changed. The message is the same it has always been. If our forefathers believed this King James Bible and preached this King James Bible and the message of this Bible, that they were right, and I believe they were right, I'm convinced in my soul that they were right, they died for this Bible, and they died for the truth, and they died for the message of God, then we can't compromise because the message has not changed. It's the same message that it's always been. I was listening a few days ago to a black preacher. His name, I think, is it James David Manning? And he was talking about this new Bible that has come out. It's a homosexual Bible where Jesus is a homosexual and the disciples are homosexuals, and the whole thing is due to homosexuality. Can you imagine such blasphemy? And he was attacking, and he is giving it down the road. And he said, in that message, he said,
that Obama had just come out and approved gay marriage. And he said, Obama's a son of Satan. And they're telling those black folks, he said, listen, those of you voted for him the first time, you were looking for change. He said, you've got to change, but you see what kind of change he's brought. He said, get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for both of you right now. And get out and vote for somebody else. He said, he's proven what he is.
Homosexual Bible. I'd have never dreamed we would have come to a place like that. New versions that are coming out. This book is forever sold in heaven to the army. God said heaven did not pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But said, grass withers and the flower passes away, but my word is forever settled. And it won't change. And that message won't change. And so we can't come down. Don't soften the message. The message is the same as it's always been. Then I say to you this morning that the master has not changed. It's the same Jesus he's always been. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can two walk together? Except they be agreed. What Amos said. And if we're going to walk with him, then we've got to be in agreement with him. Malachi said, to the Son of the Lord, he said, I am the Lord.
Not changed
in my life.
He hasn't changed. And he's not going to change. If anything changes, it's going to get better. Or it's going to get worse.
Right.
God's perfect. Yeah, right. So I can't get any better. You can't improve on perfection.
Right.
And you can't sin, you can't lie. And so I can't get any worse.
Right.
He's perfect. It can't change. Perfection can't change.
Right.
And so our master's not changed. He's the same. He's not the Jesus that this world portrays today.
He loves sinners, but he loves sinners that were willing to repent and come to him and receive him. The Pharisees had no need of him, depended on their own good works and their own righteousness. He had no power for nothing. You read Matthew chapter 23 and you find some of the harshest words in every sin.
He hasn't changed. He's not going to change. And so, we're not to change either. Come down, O man of God! Oh no. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Sin's still sin. It's always been sin. That which they preached in the past was right, and so it's not time to change. It's not time to change. I have to preach hard against adultery and fornication to the Hispanic people because, well, it's gotten that way in America now. So many of them don't want to get married. Living together, we had a couple came to us, and they came from Anderson, South Carolina. And they were upset because that Hispanic preacher was letting them get up and sing with mini skirts on and the top side of the dresses and all kinds of stuff going on. And they said, we've been baptized and been serving the Lord in that church down there. And I told them to pray and let them take up an offering. After a while, well, a few weeks ago, we went down to visit them. Not done that. Sat down, started talking, and come to find out that they weren't married. And living together for years and years, 10 years, had kids 9 years old. And I said, y'all not married? He said, no. And he said, but we want to be married. We need to get married. And he said, I want to be right with God. So, got to marry this couple here in a couple of weeks. But it's amazing how people just take up. I said, in the world's a preacher doing that? I'm serving a church and baptizing my
family.
See, we got all kinds of stuff going on today. It's a shame and disgrace of what's going on in churches. But God hadn't changed. He's the same as He's always been. And then we can't come down. We can't compromise because God's methods have not changed. It's not in. And Brother Caleb talked about that. What we're seeing today as far as this generation of so-called salvation and what they're preaching today. This regeneration, regeneration hasn't changed. It's always the same as it has been. Salvation's by grace, through faith, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It happens when a person is convicted of the Holy Ghost. He's brought to the end of himself and sees that he can do nothing to help God. He comes back to God and repentance, cried out in repentance before God. In an altar somewhere, wherever that may be, that altar can be in the house, in the woods, in the car, beside the road, wherever it is, when God deals with that heart, he cries out that God, hey, hey! This himself is a sinner, and God does the work in the heart. It's a miracle that only God can do in the heart.
That regeneration, that's all. Amen. Amen. It hasn't changed. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it will be. For Jesus coming.
Amen.
It hasn't changed. Regeneration's not changed. Salvation is the same way.
Yes.
Now, some of the details and the places and the area and so forth may change. You may have gotten saved in the daytime or saved at night. I was saved in the church, you might have got saved out in the woods. But the work of God that He does in the heart
is the work.
And it comes through the conviction of the Holy Ghost. He does His work. Doesn't have the reason for preaching the word.
Breaks
your heart. The rock in pieces.
So God's method of regeneration is not changed. There's no need to even think about compromising on that and try to change that. It will not change. The churches in America have been filled up with this easy believism.
And these preachers have got like the dogs that are sitting on the pews. And they're trying to figure out why they won't act like sheep.
You're right.
But if he's a goat nature and not a sheep nature. And you can't expect him to follow. That goat is on the butt.
Yeah.
We had one that old farm when I was growing up, he's a big deal. He ran me up a tree several times. Oh, he's mean. And he stood about that high at the shoulder and had huge horns on him. It wouldn't do any good to get up on top of the car because that rascal could climb and get up on top of the car. And then sometimes I'd get up a tree and get away from that rascal. He's mean. But he's all the time about
it.
And these preachers have to spend all the time. It's so sad that when you break the bread, Brother Josh, that they won't eat, they won't take it.
No.
Preachers all the time, they go, what's the matter with these folks? I've got preachers to get saved. I've got to say preachers to get saved. I'm convinced a lot of them preaching to go.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's
right.
You're right,
brother.
And then God's method of revival's not changed. God's method of regeneration is not changed, but His method of revival has not changed. I think you find God's plan for revival in chapter number 2. I think it's laid out there. Elijah's getting ready to go home. Elisha's with him. And the Bible said that they went down to Gilgal in verse number 1. Came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. But the Gilgal first.
You know what Gilgal is? When they crossed, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and crossed over into the promised land, the first place they stopped, that was Gilgal. That's a place of separation.
Amen, brother.
Although they had been in the wilderness, all of those Jews that had been born in the wilderness had not been circumcised. And they had to circumcise them, and it was like cutting away of the flesh.
Yeah. Amen.
And it was a separation. There'll be no revival until there is separation. There must be separation.
Amen.
God tells us in Romans chapter number 2, I believe it is.
Let's go there for just a second. You got your Bible? Go with me to Romans chapter number 2 a minute. The latter part of Romans chapter number 2. Last verses of this chapter. You see, the Jews never understood what God was trying to teach them.
That circumcision was a sign of the flesh. The Jews were different and they were separated from the rest of the nations round about them.
Yeah.
God's people are a separate people.
We have to live differently, we have to dress differently, we have to act differently. But that's not difficult when the work is done in the heart.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Not that difficult. And even though in those early years, and there was a lot of worldliness in my life, when the preacher came in and let the hammer down and started preaching the truth, the Holy Ghost bore witness in my heart that that was true, and I began to separate myself.
You there in Romans chapter number 2, verse number 27.
And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfilled the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law. You see, in Romans chapter 1, Paul condemned all the Gentiles. They were sinners condemned by the law. The Jews said, well, we are special people. Paul condemned the Jews and said, you have the law, but you haven't kept the law, and that same law has condemned you. In verse 28, he said, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
You see the truth that God tried to teach Israel, and that you're to have your heart circumcised. You're to be different from everybody else.
When the children of Israel were down in Egypt, I don't know how many times it was there, but God said, and the Bible said, God had put a difference between His people and Egypt. A difference. God's method of revival has not change. You'll have to go to Gilgal, the place of separation. Have you been there? Has God worked that separation in your heart, your life? Is it too hard to stand up and say, I'm a Christian? I belong to Jesus Christ, and I don't do what I used to do. God bless you, ladies, if you dress right. I guess probably more so for you than for us men, because men wear pants. Of course, if you don't wear shorts and all of that stuff, you know, they notice that. But for a lady, to dress like a lady, well, this day and time. I mean, there was a time when they would look at you and, you know, and but the ones that are causing most of the problems, and my wife and daughter talk about this constantly on Walmart, where they go. I mean, it's that older generation that used to.
Used to
dress
right.
But now they change. And she said they'll start at the top and they'll look all the way down. Then they'll look all the way back, and then you got a kind of smirky grin on their face. God help you give you grace, ladies. Dress right, walk right, tonight. But this world hates that. And they can't stand it because you haven't compromised in your life. So it's convicted to them because they used to. But now they've compromised and given in. That's something to see these grandmas. They're like a bunch of hussies. Great grandmas. I mean, women up here. 80s, 70s, and 80s dressed like, honestly, going around a pair of shorts and on muddy legs and those veins sticking out of a pet part. Listen, my grandma Garrett died when she was 89, and as far as I know, my grandma Garrett was never saved. But not one time did I ever see her when she was a Christian. She worked out on that farm, she milked cows, she milked them in her dress.
Amen, brother.
She hoed cotton, she hoed it in her dress. Took care of the chickens and everything else on the farm, but you never saw her nothing but a long dress.
Amen.
Lord, I know. Never sang. Revival. You got to go by Gilgal, place of separation. Then they left there, and Elijah told him, Elijah said, if you stay here, he said, no, I'm going with you. And he went down to Bethel. You see, Bethel was a place of God's presence. You remember Abraham when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees and he came to Bethel? That's when he first built his altars and all. He was living in heathen land. And all about him, they were worshiping all these false gods. But Abraham built his altars there. And God came to Abraham, and God appeared to him. And God will not manifest his presence until you've gone to Gilgal. You've got to go there. You've got to be separated before God's going to manifest his presence and power your life. When you come to Bethel. Then later it was Jacob when he was fleeing, and he stopped there and spent the night at Bethel. Laid his head upon that stone that night and had that dream of that ladder coming up. And he said, this is the house of God. He called that Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. Then later, many years later, God told him to go back to Bethel. And when he came back, he had to sanctify himself and put away the strange gods, because his wife had brought that idol out from her, brought to her father. He said, put away all of this, sanctify yourself. We're going to Bethel. And when he got there, he called it El Bethel. El is the name God. Beth
means house. And El, it was the God of the house of God. It's been a great day, and I'm sure this place is special to you. House of God, really, our bodies, the house of God. This is a church house where the church meets. But what's more important is the God who meets with you here at the house.
Amen.
That's what became special to him. He told Elisha, he said, "You stay here. So here at Bethel," said, "God's been sitting me down in Jericho." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "I'm going with you." I mean, the sons of the prophets said that institute there where they train these young preachers, prophets. But you see, Elijah, that old prophet, had something that Elisha wanted.
Amen.
He said something that old prophet that he wanted. And his heart longed. What Elijah had, and that was the fire of God in his life, that prophet, that man that represented God's power. He wanted that young prophet woman. He'd seen Elijah. He'd seen something wanted. He said, "No, I'm not leaving. He said, I'm going with you." So they went down to Jericho. Well, once the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan and left Gilgal, had the separation, the first city that they had to defeat there was Jericho.
Right.
Jericho was a walled city, great walls. Joshua had walked around and he looked at it, trying to decide what in the world we're going to do. How are we going to take this city when there was a man here to it one night and had that sword?
Yeah.
And Joshua said, "Are you for us? Are you for the enemy?" He said, "Nay, yeah, as the captain of the Lord's host." And Joshua realized that that was God. We stopped on the appearance of Christ and all this. And God on his knees before him. And he said, "I'll tell you what you need to do." And he told him, "March around him 6 times, 1 time a day. 7th day, march 7 times to the walls of God."
Yes, sir.
What does Jericho represent? That's doing God's work, God's way.
Amen.
Doing God's work, God's way. You see, that's where a lot of compromises come today.
Right.
Man has devised his own way.
Yeah.
And you know what's strange about that? And of course, Joshua did exactly what God told him to do. When the walls failed, God gave the victory. They conquered, what was it? Was it 32 kings in the land of Canaan? And never again did God tell them to do it that way.
That's right.
They only did it that way at Jericho.
Amen.
You see, and I believe Brother Joshua said, "My God, such a great God, he wants to do things 2 times the same way."
You're right.
We come to services and God manifests himself in a special way. Because we sang certain songs and something, we think, you know, well, if we just sang those songs, God will move in, and next time we sing those same songs, and nothing happens.
Right.
No, it's not that. It's doing things my way.
Amen. Right.
Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit doing what He wants.
Amen.
And then they left Jericho, and Elijah said, "God sent me down to the Jordan." Said, "You stay here." And I said, "I'm going with you." Came down to the Jordan, across the Jordan. That's dying to self.
Yeah.
Dying out to self and all of my own plans and my own will and
whatever.
What I want. We'll never have revival until we as God's people come to the end of ourselves.
Amen.
That was a little miracle we preached last night, but that's servant.
Yeah.
That was a preached last night. Man with smoky waters, she opened up and they crossed over on dry land.
Got him on the other side and we're talking, and Elijah said, Elijah, what is it you want? He said, I want a double portion of the Spirit as upon you.
Yeah.
Yes. You see, in the Old Testament, the firstborn son was entitled to a double portion.
Right.
And that's what he said, I'm your spiritual son.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest, I'm your spiritual son, I want a double portion. He said, well, if you see me, God, you can have it. If not, he said, that's a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me go up, you can have it. If not, you can't. Stay with me. Finally, that chariot came down and took Elijah. And that mantle fell on him. He saw him go up. Elisha picked that mantle up and came back to the river. Said, where is the Lord God of Elijah?
Yeah.
The river. She opened up. The last miracle that Elijah performed was the first one that Elijah performed eight. Elijah performed 16. Had a double portion.
Amen.
That he wanted. He got it.
But there's the path of revival.
There's a path of revival. You've got to go to Gilgal before you can go to Bethel.
You go to Bethel, and then when you know something of the presence of God, experience that presence of God,
God's voice, and meet with Him, He'll give you instructions on how to do His work His way.
Yes,
die to self, and you have it. God's method of revival is not changed. And then, let me just give you these. I'm done. God's might's not changed. The God who saved 50 years ago is still the same, and He can still save today. There are no hard cases for God. I've seen some I thought never would get saved.
God broke them and saved them. God's might's not changed. It's still the same as it's always been.
Right.
And God desires to save sinners into the work. If we get what we're supposed to be, do what we're supposed to do, God will do what He's supposed to do. God's mercy has not changed.
May God help us. Elijah! The king said, come down. Not coming down. Going to stay here. Finally, Elijah came down when God told him to come down. And then Elijah went and delivered that message unto the king personally.
Wasn't the messenger this time. It was Elijah.
God. It said, you're not coming up off that bed. You're going to die. Folks, this world wants us to compromise and come down. We are salt in the wounds for them. We're light in their darkness. And they're like cockroaches and they want to stay in the dark. And stay in their sin. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If we come down, if we compromise, what's going to happen to the next generation? Somebody's got to preserve the old time way. I'm glad that there are some older preachers that still are standing and holding the line for the younger preachers to come along behind them. And they got a glimpse of this old time way and the truth, and they determined in their hearts they're not changing. Amen. And I say thank you to the older preachers that standing and holding the truth for us. They've kind of showed us the truth, the light. We've got to walk in it. Because coming along behind us is another set of younger generation. They're going to get swept up in this easy believism if we don't teach them and hold a line and they don't see the light. God will use the preaching of His Word to do the job. Elijah would not compromise and would not come down. He's too close to home. Too close, time to pull out. He's a type of the rapture. And I believe we're getting close, Brother Ken. Thank you. God bless you. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to stand in these days. God, we live in a day of compromise and sin and wickedness. And this world needs somebody to be a light. Lord, you've scattered out across this country in different places. Place your children in strategic places to be light and salt. Help us to do it. Help us to do it with the right attitude, the right motive. Help us to do it, Lord, because we love you, because we're servants. And dear Lord, may you get glory and honor to your name through our lives. Bless this church. Bless the remaining days of this meeting. And I pray, Lord, you give them revival. Oh, God, would you not come down in power and manifest yourself in this place and send revival in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's all stand.
While Brother Bob was preaching, sometimes when you see people leaving the church houses and upset because of something you preached or something that's right and they don't agree with it, and they walk out, don't come back, it's hard. The old devil will say, well, you better lighten up a little bit, you're going to lose your whole crowd. But I'm going to tell you right now, what's right's right. Whether people agree with it or not, we need to stay with this book. Amen. Amen. God, help us to do that. I don't want to be called a compromiser. Amen. We'll stand for what's true in God's book. Amen. Till I die. Amen. I'm like Brother Bob, but I may not have much time left here. I think we're going to get out here for long. But amen, what time I do, I want to be right with God. Amen. What time's left? Amen. Stand for Him. I thank you, praise God, for being here this morning. Amen. Appreciate, amen, all the preaching today. Thank God, if you need to get these messages during this week on a CD or cassette or DVD, we'll have them available at the end of the week. Praise God, there's a paper back there. If you want copies of them, you get your name on that paper, and we'll be sure to get a hold of you. Amen. If you're not from here, put your telephone number. We'll get them to you, praise God, by mail or some other way. Amen. All right, praise God. Let's eat. Amen. Brother Mills, you will bless the food.
I bless you, Heavenly Father. Thank you. For the
thank you, Lord.
To hear the food this morning, God, that we've already had. God, I thank you for that food, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God been preached here today.
Lord God, and I appreciate, Father, what you've already done and what you're going to do.
Yes.
Provided, Lord, and I thank you, God, for your kindness, Lord, to each one of us.
Yes, Lord.
God, I realize today, Father, we've come down to the end of the way. Lord, I realize, God, you let us stand in this hour, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
When it's about to wind up, Lord God, help us to stay true, God, right on through, Father. Bless this food for the nourishment of our body and our body of your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Remember the service tonight at 7:30. Meet with us, praise God, service time. Amen. You can go through this door right here and into the fellowship building. Amen.